A Phoenix Skyline. Dawn approaches. A Malpasso Company film. Clint Eastwood. Sandra Locke. The Gauntlet. A Phoenix Street. The shadowy figure of a man leaves a lounge bar. He crosses the deserted road. Pat Hingle, William Prince. He makes straight for a solitary Chevy, which is parked at the roadside. Bill McKinney, Michael Cavanaugh. Cars and trucks drive past, their headlights on. The man drives his car away. Carol Cook, Mara Corday, Douglas McGrath, Jeff Morris. Samantha Doan, Roy Jensen, Dan Vardis. The car heads out along the freeway. Art director Alan E. Smith. Editors Ferris Webster, Joel Cox. Music by Jerry Fielding. The car drives through the office district in Phoenix. Director of photography Rexford Metz. Associate producer Fritz Maines. Written by Michael Butler and Dennis Shryak. Produced by Robert Daly. Directed by Clint Eastwood. It's daylight as the man parks his brown Chevy on a smart street surrounded by brand new office blocks. The man opens the door. A bottle rolls out and smashes on the road. The haggard-looking 40-something man with a 5 o'clock shadow stares down at the broken whiskey bottle. He climbs out of the car and trudges up some steps towards a gleaming office block. In a corridor, the haggard-looking man passes row upon row of trophy cases. He walks towards a reception desk. A portly man comes out to greet him.
Where you been? You look awful.
Oh, I had a late-night poker.
You should have at least shaved. This new police commissioner, this Blakelock, he's supposed to be very spit and polish. Yeah, but Jesus, God, Ben, you gotta watch the way you look. You can't just walk in one of these big wigs without shaving, you know. You just can't do that, Ben. You should have put on a tie. You should have shined your shoes. You should have made some kind of an effort to spruce up a little bit.
Mr. Pottersfield.
Shopping, how are you today?
Fine, sir. How's our assistant DA these days?
Shit, he couldn't convict Hitler. Don't use any profanity. And remember to say sir to him. If he speaks to you, say sir. Then stand up straight. And for God's sakes, Ben, don't breathe on him. Here, wait a minute, guy. Come on, wait a minute. Here, open your mouth. Open your mouth. I just wish I had time to shave.
The haggard-looking man, Ben, opens a door marked E.A. Blakelock, Commissioner of Police. A lean, silver-haired man, Blakelock, sits behind his desk.
Ben Shockley, sir.
Yeah, I've heard about you, Shockley.
Oh.
As commissioner of the police department, considerable responsibility. Watchdog of the department, so to speak, policing the police. So that the need for absolute secrecy is...
I understand.
Plane tickets. Extradite. Subpoena. You're flying to Las Vegas. Coming back with a prisoner for us, whom you will remand to custody of county. And then you report. You know, back here.
Ben frowns at Blakelock.
Respectfully, sir, I work for Metro Squad. Why me?
Your division commander says you're a man who gets the job done.
A suspicious Ben screws his eyes up.
Is there anything special I should know about this case?
Blakelock works his jaw, half spits.
What it is this. It's a nothing witness or a nothing trial.
Ben scrutinizes Blakelock.
That'll be all.
Blakelock returns to writing.
Shotley, you represent the Phoenix PD. Get a shave.
Blakelock eyeballs Ben.
Yes, sir.
15 years on the bricks together. Look what happens to us. I land that lousy desk job, you get a freebie to Vegas.
Big deal. Two-bit witness for a two-bit trial.
Anybody I know?
Name's Gus Malley. Ever heard of him?
Yeah. What's the charge?
He wouldn't say. I'm just going up there. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley.
He's coming right back. Wouldn't even have time to get laid.
You wouldn't have time. Helen would kill me. Listen, are you still getting serviced by Shirley? Well, why not? You got a very shapely lady there.
Well, she was after me for my money.
Uh-huh. Listen, what's the round trip to Vegas take? 2 hours? You could have dinner with us.
Oh, not tonight. You say hello to Helen and the kids, though, huh? And thanks very much for the escort. I know how busy you execs are.
In your ear, Jim.
Congratulations on the promotion.
Outside City Hall.
I don't know why they promoted me. You and me are partners, for Christ's sake.
They promoted you because you deserve it.
Man, I hate paperwork, you know that. If it wasn't for the family, I'd tell them to take their desk job and shove it.
Why don't you quit bellyaching? You're off the bricks, aren't you?
Well, I like the bricks.
Relax and enjoy life.
The portly man slaps Ben on the back. Ben opens the Chevy door.
Hey. You and me have been through some doors together, haven't we? We've had our times.
We've had our times.
Ben gives the portly man the thumbs up. He reciprocates. Ben drives off. The portly man looks on, wistfully. McCarran International Airport, Las Vegas. A yellow plane taxis along the runway. Airport arrivals. Ben, clean-shaven and wearing a smart suit and dark glasses, strolls through the arrivals lounge. Ben is in a taxi.
Ever been to Las Vegas before?
Ben pulls out a miniature whiskey from his suit pocket.
Ah, we get a lot of tourists in town. It's always this way, this strip. Choked with traffic all the time. You can't drive, you can't go fast. 30 miles an hour all the way. The old days.
Buddy, drop the tourist crap, will you?
The taxi driver glances over his shoulder. Ben walks around the perimeter of a plaza. In the middle is a water fountain. He enters a building. The sign on the doors reads Police Department.
What do you mean my man isn't here?
You heard what I said, bud.
Look, I've got extradition papers for one Gus Malley, and the address is this building. Now, you better check again.
Look, I got all kinds of fellas in here. I got a Smith, I got a Gonzalez, I got a McNaughton. Take your pick. But I don't have a fella named Gus Malley.
Supposed to have been picked up yesterday, held for extradition. Somebody screwed up.
Wait a minute now. You get back to Phoenix empty-handed. All I said was, I ain't got no guy named Gus Malley. Augustina Malley, I got over in women's detention. Augustine.
The officer chuckles. Ben rolls his eyes.
She's been spinning up since morning. I don't know, she might have a fever or something. Called prison doctor, but he hasn't shown up yet.
Ben enters the cell. A blonde is laid face down on the bed.
Hit the deck, Malley. Does she have anything to eat?
Just a cup of coffee this morning.
Yeah. Looks like she smoked a few cigarettes and put the ashes in the coffee. Old army trick. She wanted to look sick.
Go! They're gonna kill me! Out of fucking log!
Ben slaps the blonde Gus Malley hard across the face.
Terrific. My life on the line and they send me an on-the-ropes bum.
Ben glares.
What kind of record does she have?
Hooker.
You see, we've got a problem, you and me. We don't like each other much, but we have to take a trip together. Now, you can come along peacefully or you can be a pain in the ass. But I'm warning you. You mess around and I'll put the cuffs on you. You talk dirty, I gag you. If you run, I'll shoot you. My name is Shockley and we've got a plane to catch. Now let's go.
They're still cutting her papers.
Swell. Can you ask them to hurry it up, please? You, think about what I said, huh?
You're a dead man, Shockley. They're gonna kill me. And if you're with me, they'll kill you too.
Who's they?
I don't know.
Well, why are they gonna kill you?
I don't know.
Pack your lipstick.
Damn it, it's the truth! Look, they've even got a line on it, on us.
They got a betting line on just about everything in this town. Ponies, football, the fights. Nobody gives a damn about a dumbass cop and a two-bit hooker on Air West.
Shockley, listen to me. Look, it's 50 to 1. We don't make it. Ask any bookie.
Don't drown in the sink.
Malley grips the prison bars.
Shockley! You big prick!
Ben turns, eyeballs her, then blinks. Malley flees to the back of the cell.
That's a hooker?
Big kick in Vegas now is a schoolgirl, look. She's a little on the high side. Finds it hard to maintain those $100 trips.
Well, on a scale of 10, I'd have to give her a 2. And that's only because I've never seen a 1 before.
Inside a betting office.
Okie dokie, sir. Here you are. Just what you ordered. Now, how about another one?
No, this is fine.
You sure?
I've got a plane to catch.
Holy gee, no way you'd get me on a plane. I mean, not after the airline pilots I've dated. I wouldn't let those assholes drive my car.
Really?
Just last week, I was reading this article, and it talked about flying. It said we'd all become just like cattle. I mean, trusting our lives to people we don't even know, like pilots. It said we do it all the time, and just as often not, we get our heads bashed in, like cattle, for being so trusting. I mean, did you ever stop to think about that? I mean, like those pilots I dated. Hell, this article said that half those guys is a snocker. They don't even know what button to push. I mean, hell, one minute you are flying 30,000 feet in the air, and the next, you are splattered all over the ground. I mean, somebody's dachshund nipping at your pancreas.
Ben gawks at the betting board. Malley, no show, 50 to 1.
Flying really sucks, you know what I mean?
How much on what, sport?
Malley, no show. What's the score on her?
50 to 1.
I can read. I mean, what's the record on her? How does she run?
Look, buddy, I don't know shit from horses. I just put the names on the board. All I know about that one, she started out this morning at 20 to 1. The house has been raising the odds ever since. Smart money must figure she ain't got a chance. You want to make a bet or not?
Maybe later.
The odds lengthen to 60 to 1. Ben is in a public call box.
It's 20, Buck.
Yeah, you've got a horse in the 10th race called Malley No Show. Got a line on her?
Hang on. Yeah, we got her 70 to 1.
7? 60 to 1 10 minutes ago.
So aren't you glad you've waited? But don't stretch your luck. The odds are bound to go down. No filly can be that bad.
Ben puts the receiver down.
You found out I was right, didn't you?
I didn't find out, Dick. All I know is there's a horse named Malley No Show in the 10th race at Santa Anita. The way the odds are going up, somebody's betting she's going to drop dead at the starting gate.
That's right, and this is the gate right here. Don't you see? They're saying we haven't got a chance.
For all I know, there is a horse. It's just a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence. For Christ's sake, Shockley, there isn't any 10th race at Anita.
The wagon's outside. What about that horse?
75 to 1. Sounds like a real nag.
Look, go back home. Leave me be. Call it off, please.
We're splitting right now. Look, one of you call Hertz or Avis. I don't care which one. Get me a car. Have them leave it somewhere between here and the airport. Leave the keys in it. I'll pay for it when I get her on the plane. If, and I say if, what you're saying is true, then somebody's betting I can't do my job. Well, they're full of shit.
You are. There's people laying these odds will chew you up and spit you out. You're fucking crazy. I'm not going any place with you.
Mally runs to the bed and clasps the iron bedhead. The paramedics drag a gurney through a door marked Officers Only. Mally is strapped to it. She has a gag stuffed in her mouth.
What's the story on that car? 74 Plymouth Blue. We parked off the strip at the Christian Center.
Who's the driver of this thing?
That's me.
Let's go. Just the driver.
We're a team.
Next time.
Ben closes the ambulance doors. The ambulance departs, leaving the open-mouthed paramedic in its wake. Las Vegas Street. Day. The ambulance drives past casino halls. Its lights are flashing. Inside the ambulance, Ben sits next to Mally, who is still strapped in. Ben takes out Mally's gag.
Cheap shot, gutless bastard. You really get off roughing up girls, don't you, big man? Big 45 caliber fruit?
That's me.
Macho mentality. You're gonna get us both killed before we get out of here. Jesus.
Ben clamps an oxygen mask on her. The ambulance drives out on the freeway, passing a silver and white dome.
There it is!
A blue hire car is parked at the side of a deserted road.
All right. Pull around in front of him. I'll get her ready for transfer. You check and see if the keys are in the car.
The paramedic does a U-turn and pulls the ambulance in front of the blue hire car. The paramedic gets out and strides back to the car. Mally gasps as Ben removes the mask.
I'm hyperventilating, you bastard! Go die by yourself, I'm not getting out of this ambulance!
The car is blown apart. A fire rages. A second explosion blows the back doors off. Ben and Mally goggle in shock and disbelief. Ben heads for the driver's seat. Mally edges back onto the gurney. Ben drives off. Mally stares, eyes like saucers.
Come here. Take this.
What's that?
It's a gun. Take it.
Well, I don't want it.
Take it. Anybody comes up behind us, shoot them.
You gotta be kidding.
Ben speeds down the road.
Take a less popular way to the airport.
After what happened back then, Jesus, they'll be waiting for us at the airport.
By the time they sift through that wreckage, we'll be in Phoenix.
A black car follows the ambulance. Mally points the gun at Ben.
Pull over.
I'm going 50 miles an hour. Until you pull that trigger, I'm headed to the airport.
I mean it. I swear to Christ, if you don't stop this thing, I'm gonna shoot you.
Bullets hurtle through the ambulance.
What's that?
Shooting at us. Shoot at him.
Stop this thing, it's the police.
It's not the police, shoot at him.
I can't.
You're ready to shoot at me, damn it.
Mally cocks the gun, aims shakily at the black car, and grits her teeth. She hits the windscreen on the black car twice. The car swerves off the road and plows into a group of workmen and road signs. The car hits a bridge over an emergency road and crashes at the bottom. Mally hurries forward, points the revolver at Ben. He snatches at it. Mally holds on for grim death. Ben swerves the ambulance across the road into the oncoming traffic as he tries to wrestle the revolver from her grasp. They struggle violently. The oncoming traffic slews to either side of the ambulance. Ben swerves the car back across the central reservation. He flings Mally away, dispossessing her of the gun. She falls against the passenger door, which flies open. She dangles over the road. She clings to the open door. Ben tries to grab her and steer the ambulance. The ambulance skids off the road and heads straight for a telegraph pole. Ben snatches Mally as the door hits the pole and rips off. Ben and Mally glance at each other. Mally straightens herself, looks in the mirror, and preens her hair.
All right, so we don't go to the airport. I'll be damned if I know where to go.
6 blocks down, hang a left. Second house on the right.
Ben turns towards a one-story detached house set apart from its neighbors. He drives up the gravel road. He pulls up outside the house. Mally climbs out and walks to the porchway. She rummages in her bag for a set of keys. They enter Mally's house.
Got a telephone in this place?
It's over there.
It's your house?
Yeah.
What kind of guys do you bring here?
Locals, mostly. Married men cheating on their wives.
Police department.
Oh, Commissioner Blakelock's office, please. Ben Shockley.
Ben keeps hold of the receiver as he takes his jacket off.
Shockley, what the hell is you supposed to be on the plane 15 minutes ago?
It seems somebody doesn't want your nothing witness to testify at your nothing trial. Now, if I'm going to get her back to Phoenix in one piece, I'm going to need your help. Maybe you could call the Vegas Police Department and send a couple squad cars. I could use one for a decoy and use the other one to take her to the airport.
Where are you?
Where the hell is this place?
316 Rothdale.
316 Rothdale. You can't miss it. There's an ambulance parked in front. Yeah, it's a cat house.
You stay there.
Where the hell would I go?
Don't get smart,
Charlie. Yes, sir.
Mally, now wearing makeup, flaunts herself.
You win, Shockley. I'm through fighting it. I really appreciate what you did back there in the ambulance. If you hadn't pulled me back in, I'd have been...
My job's just to get you back to Phoenix in one piece, that's all.
I know. Still, I owe you. You married?
What do you care?
I'm interested in you. Want a glass?
Mm-mm. It's fine.
You know, every woman has her thing about men. Something that turns her on. With me, it's hands. I love strong hands. Like yours.
Mally interlocks her hand in his, then leans forward to kiss him.
We have time.
They fall back on the bed, kissing.
We'll have such a good time, baby. Such a good time. Oh, you're so beautiful. Just lie there now. Just lie there. And Mom will do all the work.
Somehow I get the feeling your heart is not in your work.
Bastard! I just want you to know that even if we do get to Phoenix, I'm not testifying at any lousy trial.
Well, that's your problem. My job's just to get you there.
Your job? You'd risk your life for something as stupid as this? All you've got's your fucking job.
I just do what I'm told.
Yeah, well, so does an imbecile.
Mally stalks off. Ben gets up off the bed and picks up the phone.
Number for Air West, please. We won't be here long.
Mally spots the police car crawling up. Her face remains expressionless.
Do you mind? Once we're in the air, I'd hate to have you worry. I might leap out the washroom window.
Go ahead.
Air West has planes leaving almost every hour.
Oh, Air West? Yeah, when's your next flight to Phoenix? Have planes leaving every hour. I'd like to book a reservation on your next flight for 2.
Ben sees the squad cars and gives a thumbs up.
Yeah, 2 people, named Smith. Yeah, we'll be there. Thanks.
The armed police officers get out of the car. A posse of marked and unmarked cars pull in. The armed officers cock their rifles en masse. A detective clambers out of an unmarked car. He's carrying a loudhailer.
Let's go.
You in the house. Come on with your hands up. We got the house surrounded. Draw want your guns? Bring the girl.
Fuck me. Come on, let's go. Come on, goddammit, they've got a whole army out there.
You got 30 seconds.
The officers keep their rifles trained on the house. Ben fires at the lock on the bathroom. He kicks the door open.
Hey, Cap, they're shooting at us!
Allie!
Mally's prison uniform and trainers lay discarded.
Open fire!
The officers riddle the house with bullets. Ben huddles down in the bathroom. He's flinching at the onslaught. Ben falls to the floor and covers his face. The officers spray bullets around and pepper the house with buckshot. An officer leans against his squad car and fires his automatic rifle. Next to him, a sign reads, "God makes house calls." Ben tries to lever himself up using the bathroom sink. It collapses. The roof of the house groans and subsides under the ferocity of the barrage. The toilet cistern shatters as it's riddled with bullets. An officer lobs a smoke grenade. Ben pulls open a false door in the bathroom wall. He crawls through into a space below the house. As the posse continues to pepper the house with buckshot and bullets, Ben maneuvers through the debris under the house. He hurries through a tunnel, which leads out into the daylight.
Hold your fire!
The house creaks and groans and collapses in on itself.
Cap, they should have surrendered.
Yeah.
Ben makes his way, bent double, to the end of the tunnel. Mally is leaning by a rock. She's wearing blue jeans and a green blouse.
What the hell didn't you tell me about that passageway?
I'm your prisoner, remember? I was trying to escape. What happened back there? I heard the shooting.
I damn near got cut to ribbons, that's what happened. Somebody set me up.
Well, don't blame me. It was your idea calling the cops, not mine. Did you shoot at those guys? Is that how it started?
I didn't do jack shit.
Well, then why? What happened?
I don't know what happened. Come on, let's get out of here. I don't suppose there's anybody in this town that you could trust.
Huh? I'm not sure.
That's right. I guess in your line of work, you don't make too many lifelong friends.
Yeah, well, what about you? Those were cops back there. How many friends have you got?
Put your ass in gear. Here, look normal.
I am normal.
Ben strolls along, holding Mally's hand, while a posse of officers keeps a watchful eye out. They run across the road. A squad car is parked outside a diner.
There's a cop car, for Christ's sake.
Shut up.
Ben and Mally make straight for the golden white squad car. Ben walks around the car and points his revolver at the side of the officer's head.
Do what I say and this won't go on.
Got it.
Get in the back.
Mally climbs into the back. Ben, his gun aimed at the officer, hops into the passenger seat.
Now go.
The officer reverses out. Ben keeps his gun trained on him.
Don't get all nervous with that cannon, partner. I ain't no trouble.
Just head right on up here to the left.
All right.
We just left about 50 of your buddies, tried to blow me all to hell. They were nothing but trouble.
Oh, my goodness, you two of them hole up in a cat house, ain't you?
You know about that?
Well, every cop in this town knows about it.
Just what do you know?
A dispatcher said there was this hooker and three, maybe four men armed and dangerous hole up in a cat house. And, hell, half the units in this city must have picked it up.
Well, I don't care what bullshit came over that radio. There was just the two of us in that house, and I'm a cop.
You think that little old piece of tin proves anything? You could gut that out of a box of Cracker Jacks.
It's real. You look at it.
Yeah? Two fellas in the car said you shot at them. You put them in a hospital. Now, why would a cop do that?
Because they shot at us, that's why.
That ain't their story. They said you was fleeing the scene of an accident, and they were just tailing you, and you opened up at them.
Well, they're full of shit.
Sure as hell somebody is.
Constable 315, this is dispatch.
You being a cop and all, you don't mind if I pick that up and tell me you're in the car, do you?
You just forget about that.
We have further information on the suspect.
What's your detail?
You're compounding your problem kidnapping an officer of the law. You know that, don't you?
I said, what's your detail, cowboy?
I got the west side shift. I just cruise. Come sundown, I turn in this here car and I hang up the hat.
Well, you just cruise right on out this highway towards the border now. Understand?
I tell you what. I'll make you a deal. If you're really a cop, let's us just turn this little city into them people what's been looking for, and I'll forget the liberties you've been taking.
You know who they are?
Huh?
The people that are looking for, you know who they are?
Well, now, let's just say for the minute that your story is true about them dudes in the car shooting at you first. Now, if them two are examples, I'd say the folks are hunting for her would have the initials M-O-B.
You didn't tell me it was the FOB that was after us, setting the line on us, raising the odds. Who the hell are you protecting?
Not protecting anybody. I didn't know.
Shit.
Now you got the cops on your ass, too. The good guys and the bad guys. You're between a rock and a hard place, boy. You ain't got a chance in the hell. No, sir. So what you say, Colonel? Let's the two of us get a taste of her and turn her ass in, okay?
Pull over up here.
Huh?
Pull in this station right up here.
The officer pulls into a gas station.
Right here, stop. Here, take these cuffs. Put one bracelet or hand and one over the roll bar.
Tough guy, big 10-star egomaniacs.
Okay. Now, slide out this side. Right over this side here.
Ben clambers out backwards, gun in hand.
Over by that booth.
I now ask you under penalty of perjury, Mr. DeLuca, whether to your knowledge there are any witnesses who can corroborate what you have told the jury.
One, sir. One that I can think of.
Just one?
Yeah.
Detective Shockley from Vegas, sir.
Mally, now cuffed to the roll bar in the squad car, watches Ben intently.
I don't give a damn what you heard. I'm telling you what happened and who set me up. Proof? Proof against the mob? Come off of it, sir. Look, I've got a scorched ass, and that's all the proof I need.
Standing out here in the middle of nowhere with a witness that you said means nothing to nobody.
And everybody in this goddamn town shooting at me. And I'm slightly worried about it, yeah. Now you've got to bring me in.
I'd like an escort. A convoy of Arizona police to take me and the prisoner back to Phoenix.
Where and when?
The Arizona border's about an hour away from here. I'll be riding in a constable's car. You copy?
Affirmative.
You'll have the escort. You'll transfer from the constable's vehicle to an escort car 60 minutes from now. Now, can you handle it, or do I have to ride it in Braille and shove it up your ass?
Sir. All right, take us to the border.
Okay, now, Colonel, I heard some of that stuff on the phone, so I guess maybe you are a cop. So you know I got to call in at quitting time, which is now.
All right, you call in. You tell him you need the car for another hour. Tell him your mother-in-law was hit by a truck.
Tell them anything. Just make believers out of them.
A thin-lipped Blakelock picks up the receiver.
You mind if I ask you a question? How many times a month you spread your legs?
Just drive the car, will you?
See, now, I got me a chance to learn something, Colonel. I mean, as long as I got a chauffeur, the little strumpet, you don't mind if a country boy picks up a little education, do you? I got this here buddy. He had the idea one time we had opened up a string of whorehouses and advertise them like them fried chicken places, finger licking good. How's it work with your kind? You go to some kind of special school or something?
I have a B.A. from Finch College.
Is that where you learned how to give head?
You shut up, for Christ's sake.
Hey, now, Colonel, you come to the strumpet's rescue. I bet you had some ideas. Get some gas yourself. Maybe you already had a taste of it, huh? Ain't nothing like a slice of the damn pizza. You can't fool old Deke. I seem to zip in your fly. You
will you shut up?
It's all right. Let him talk.
You going to shoot a fella officer, Colonel? What do you tell him back home that I was insulting your whore? Like you done lost your hero, boy.
I can take care of myself.
Yeah, but you can't, Dad. So let's just mean you have a little talk, huh? Did you ever go down on another little girl? Ever have it done to you? I mean, whores just don't make it with guys, do they? They'll make it with everybody's got the cash, right? Bet you do. But I'd like to watch you, too. Yes, ma'am, I'd really dig watching you. Little old melons all pink and tight, and that little ass a humping and a jerking around, and long legs all jacked up and juicy like. I bet it don't take much to get you all wet and hot to trot, does it? Hey, come on, talk to me. I want to know what it's like being a whore.
Actually, I always thought it was rather like being a cop.
You did?
Yeah. Not unlike being on the take at 24 bars in downtown Vegas. Taking money from some politician each time you peel his drunken kid's Cadillac off a telephone pole. Strong-arming the Chicanos in the barrio on Saturday night. Busting kids for smoking grass, then taking a kickback from the heroin dealers. Or those occasions when you do bust a pusher. And skim the hall when you've made the collar. So would you skim to your dope addict buddies on the floor.
She's sure on all our tricks, ain't she?
As I see it, the only difference between you and me is that when I quit work, I take a long, hot bath, and I'm as clean as the day I was born. But a cop, especially a flunky like you, when the sheriff whistles, you squat. And what he does to you rots your brain. No amount of water on earth can get you clean again.
You ought to sit there and take that kind of crap.
You were the one who wanted to talk.
I know you don't like women like me. We're a bit aggressive. We're frightened. But that's only because you've got filth in your brain, and I'm afraid the only way you'll ever clean it out is to put a bullet through it. But does your wife know you masturbate?
The officer screams and jerks the car violently across the road, narrowly missing an oncoming lorry. Ben pushes the gun into the officer's cheekbone.
You've had your chat, now drive.
Mally fixes Ben with a stare. Ben gives her daggers. Mally smiles and smokes her cigarette. She averts her gaze. Ben smiles too. The squad car continues on through the Nevada landscape. The officer massages the back of his neck as he drives.
Shockley?
Yeah?
What's gonna happen at the border?
I'm gonna pick up an escort and take us to Phoenix.
Who?
Police?
Arizona police.
How do you know?
Because I asked for them.
Did you call the same person you telephoned from the house?
Yeah.
Well, when I saw you back there in the culvert, you said you'd been set up.
Mally scrutinizes Ben.
Seemed that way at the time.
What's changed since then?
What are you trying to say?
Look, somebody's trying to kill me, and since you're along, you're a target, too. That car that blew up and those two guys who shot at us, now that could have been the mob, but back at the house there, those were cops outside. And somehow they got the wrong message. Now maybe it was a legitimate mistake, maybe not, but if it wasn't, who would have given them the wrong message?
How would I know? It wouldn't be my guys, not the guys on my own force, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right, but let's just say that there's a chance you're wrong. Just one chance in a thousand. State line's a pretty lonely place to find out.
Hear what she said about your own people? Gonna sit there and take that shit.
Ben looks worried.
How far is the state line?
About 10 miles.
Shockley? I really do have a college degree.
Doubt flashes across Ben's face. They drive into the Nevada sunset. Darkness descends.
State line's just beyond that next rise up there. Good thing you're lighting out here. I ever see your ass again, you had it.
A thoughtful Ben stares into space.
Shockley? I may be wrong, but what if I'm right?
Pull over.
What?
Pull over and stop.
Whatever you say.
Okay.
The officer pulls the car over. Mally and Ben get out.
Leave your gun by the side of the road. You can pick it up later.
Damn, bet I will. You had some fast talking to do, Colonel. Them fellas up there are going to wonder why you bailed out, and I'm going to tell them. You chose sides. Got yourself a little look, you chose sides.
The officer drives off into the gloom.
We better get a move on. If you're wrong, I want to be there to explain it to those guys before that asshole starts spouting off.
Ben grasps Mally's arm and drags her over the dark landscape. A convoy of cars snakes its way along the road. A sign reads, "Welcome to Arizona, the Grand Canyon State." The fleet of cars parks up in a row with headlights on. One by one, the headlights go out until the area is pitch dark.
Red Fox 1, this is Kingman Relay. Has Rabbit arrived yet?
Rabbit approaching.
10-4, we'll relay to Phoenix.
The squad car approaches. Swathed in darkness, the detectives watch the squad car. As the officer pulls up, the detectives flick their headlights on.
How y'all doing?
They open fire, riddling the car with buckshot and bullets. They continue until the car is peppered with shots and the tires are flat. Ben and Mally sneak up in time to see the detectives leave. The car is a smoldering wreck. Ben views the scene, anger etched on his face. The cars pull away, one by one. An illuminated sign reads, "God gives eternal life." The entrance to a cave in the Arizona desert. Nighttime, a fire blazes.
If it's any consolation.
What?
Nothing.
Shut up.
Never saw a cop feeling sorry for himself before. Mind if I watch?
2 cents and a stick of gum, I'd kick the shit out of you.
I would ever get you off, Butch.
After I was through, where would I leave the $20?
I don't want your money, Shockley. I love you for your mind.
Ben wallops her across the face. Mally kicks him in the balls. He staggers.
You son of...
Ben goes after Mally. He's still bent over in pain. She scurries out of his reach.
Sorry. Just had to jog your thinking. You're a loser, Sharkley. I'm splitting.
Mally walks away. Ben draws his revolver and cocks it.
You wouldn't shoot a woman in the back, would you? How would that look on your stinking record?
You'd never make it alone out there in the desert.
With a locks for brains like you, I don't have a chance. On my own, I do okay.
Well, I saved you from that constable, didn't I?
I wouldn't take any vows if I were you. If it weren't for me, you'd have let that schmuck drive us right into the guns.
Well, if it weren't for you, there wouldn't be any guns. You're the one they're trying to kill, remember?
Oh, yeah? Well, it's both of us, you witless idiot. Haven't you even figured that one out yet? Why the hell do you think you drew this assignment?
As I get the job done.
They don't want the job done. They picked you because you're a drunken bum. And if they bump you off, nobody, not a fucking soul, is gonna give a rat's ass. You're a nothing, Shockley. A nobody. You're a faded number on a rusty badge, and you've been set up by your own people to take the fall with me. Wake up, for Christ's sake. At least that way, when the bullets hit you, you'll know where the hell they're coming from.
Mally storms off.
Watch out for the sidewinders.
What?
It's a type of rattlesnake that comes out after dark.
Holy
shit. Yeah, they're drawn by body heat. You never know it till they hit you.
Mally stares into the darkness. Mally stomps back to sit by the fire.
I'll leave in the morning.
Yeah.
I will. I'll make it too.
Mally stretches out on the rocky earth. She uses her bag and a large rock as a pillow. Ben props himself up against the cave wall.
If we were in Vegas right now, you'd be just going to work.
I'll go polish your badge, Shockley. It's all you've got.
Miserable bitch.
Welcome to the ranks of the disenchanted.
Shut up and go to sleep.
I'm a counterpuncher, Shockley. If you can't last the 12 rounds, then stay out of the rain.
Ben brings the whiskey towards his lips. He stops and screws the bottle top back on. He gazes away into the distance. Night gives way to morning. A sleepy Ben wakes up. He's still leaning against the cave wall. The burnt-out fire smoulders.
Chocolate?
Who's DeLuca?
What?
Angelo DeLuca is in the state of Arizona versus DeLuca. Who is he?
Have you been sitting there all night?
Cut the mother hen crap, will you? You're supposed to be a witness at this trial. Now, who the hell is he?
Small Todd.
Is he mob?
Who knows?
Talk, for Christ's sake.
Oh, hell, I guess he is. So what?
Well, A, the mob is making book that you don't testify at this trial. And B, somebody on the Phoenix PD also doesn't want you testifying. Now, A plus B equals a tie-in between the mob and the police force.
You sit on your ass all night figuring that one out? Congratulations.
Now, who's DeLuca?
I only met the guy once. Jesus, Shockley, I'm no good without a cup of coffee. Would you lay off?
Well, the one time you did meet him, what happened?
I don't want to talk about it.
Jesus, half my force may be involved in this, and you don't want to talk about it.
You heard me.
Who are you protecting?
Nobody.
Bullshit!
Me! I'm protecting me, okay? So lay off!
From what? From me? Have I tried to kill you or run you down or jump your bones? When are you going to realize I'm not the enemy?
Hooray for Mr. Clean.
Now, what did he do?
I don't want to talk about it!
You're the key to this thing. You're the proof, and both sides know it. Please.
DeLuca set me up with this guy. Told me to be special nice to him.
What guy?
Someone on the force.
Phoenix PD? What was his name?
I didn't ask.
But what happened?
Mally averts her eyes, then looks back up at Ben.
Went to this hotel room in Vegas. There was this guy there. He seemed like an okay guy. I asked him how he wanted it. Told me to take off my clothes, lie down on the bed, lie on my stomach. Told me to open up my legs. I couldn't see him. He had this gun. He took this gun with one hand, and he held it there. Didn't take much imagination to know what he was doing with his other hand. And he told me if I screamed, he'd pull the trigger.
Describe him.
Mally swallows and fights back the tears.
He was 55, 60. Blue eyes, gray hair, very distinguished. And he had this face that looked like it was made out of stone. And this voice that sounded like it came from the bottom of a tomb.
The realization dawns on Ben's face.
Blakelock.
Ben observes them as they drive past. He walks up to the cave entrance and sees that the bikers have gathered just outside.
Oh my God.
You wait here.
Where are you going?
You just stay here, huh?
Ben saunters into the open, unholsters his gun, and pulls out his badge.
All right, you mother jumpers, this is a bust.
Ben strides up to the bikers.
All right, everybody up against their bike. Hey, balls in your pocket.
A biker lashes out with a length of chain. Ben kicks him in the crotch and points the gun at him.
Don't do that, man. Don't.
Ben fires. The chamber is empty. He points the revolver at the bike, lets a shot loose.
Son of a bitch.
Now, the next turkey who tries that, I'm going to shoot him, stuff him, and stick an apple in his ass. Any takers? You?
Hey, man. You can't do this without a warrant.
Man says I need a warrant, huh?
Right. Yeah.
Well, a man don't know jack shit. Now, anybody here know more about the law here than me? Any lawyers here? Any lawyers want to tell me why I don't need a warrant?
Hey, man, why don't you get off our case?
You with the fucking hair. You look smart. Why don't you tell me why I'm entitled to come in here anytime I please? Reasonable what?
Reasonable suspicion.
Exactly, reasonable suspicion. I can go anywhere I please if I have reasonable suspicion. Now, if I have suspicion a felony's been committed, I can just walk right in here anytime I feel like it. Because I got this badge, I got this gun, and I got the love of Jesus right here in my pretty green eyes.
Must be high on something.
Fuck, crazy.
I'm a little bit of a fix. Idiot. Mindless, brainless, stupid.
Maybe even one of you girls, huh?
Like what?
I don't know what. And personally, I don't give a shit. The main thing is, I'm going to have to bust y'all. Of course, we do have a choice. No, wait a second. We have a choice. If you get your ass on those bikes and get out of here in the next 30 seconds, then I'll let you off with just a warning. However, if you give me any shit at all, in the next half hour, there's going to be more cops. More guns, more handcuffs, more marijuana-sniffing dogs than you've ever seen in your wildest hallucinations. You hear me? 30 seconds. Haul ass!
The bikers rev up their choppers. They move out en masse. Ben kicks over the bike he put a bullet through.
Hey, this bike stays with me. You three can take a hike.
Hey, man, this is our choppers, Charlie.
This is my gun, Clyde.
Come on, this game is dead. Let's get out of here. This guy's nuts. Come on, man.
Fuck.
Take a hike, man.
Pull it. You know, what else can you do with it?
Charlie, you're crazy. Ridiculous. You're outrageous. You're just completely outrageous.
Thanks.
Do you know how to drive this thing?
It's been a few years, but you'll fake it.
Ben takes off on the undamaged chopper with Mally riding pillion. They cruise along a dirt track through the Arizona desert. They reach a tarmac road and turn onto it.
Yeah, Maynard Josephson, Metro Squad.
I'll get us something to eat.
Josephson.
Josephson's me, Shotgun.
Ben. Christ's sakes, Ben. Guy, there's an APB out on you. Why'd you do it?
Do what?
The constable last night. Why the hell did you have to kill him?
I didn't kill anybody. That's Blakelock. Do you hear me?
It's who?
It's Commissioner Blakelock. Somehow he's tied in with the mob. He's trying to nail the girl, me and the girl.
What girl? What the hell are you talking about?
The witness at that trial. Gus Malley, it's not a guy, it's a girl. Yeah, and if she testifies there, Blakelock knows she's gonna torpedo him.
A helicopter whirs overhead.
You hear me, Josie?
A man opens fire from the helicopter.
Now look at him.
Ben drops the receiver.
Ben? Come on. Ben?
Ben and Mally jump on the chopper.
Oh, yeah. Blakelock's buddies.
The portly man, Josie, listens and frowns. The helicopter pursues the chopper as Ben accelerates away. The man in the helicopter fires at Ben and Mally. The helicopter chases them along the road. The man takes pot shots. The helicopter circles around them and overtakes. Ben brakes hard. He swerves left onto a dust track. The helicopter banks left in hot pursuit. The gunman shoots at Ben and Mally. Ben heads for the hills, where rocks and boulders begin to impede the helicopter's progress. The dirt track winds through tunnels in the rock face.
Water.
A vast expanse of water stretches away to the left. The helicopter has to negotiate the rocky terrain. Ben and Mally speed through a succession of tunnels. Ben comes to a full stop in one tunnel. The helicopter hovers at the entrance, the gunman poised. Ben accelerates hard and catches the gunman unawares. The dirt track heads through the arid scrubland between row upon row of pylons. The gunman resumes shooting, his aim becoming increasingly accurate. He hits the chopper. A plume of white smoke issues from the bike. The helicopter circles around the bike. Ben and Mally enter a ravine. Rocks and pylons tower into the air. Ben tries to shake off his pursuers by twisting and turning. He stops in front of a pylon, then accelerates. His pursuers turn to follow. The helicopter heads straight for the pylon. Its blades catch the wires and sparks fly. The helicopter explodes and crashes to the ground. It takes the wires and part of the pylon with it. Ben and Mally look on. A black plume of smoke billows from the debris. Ben and Mally drive away. The plume of smoke billowing from the bike worsens. In the distance, a freight train rattles slowly along.
Let's go.
Ben abandons the chopper. They sprint for the train.
We'll never make it!
They run beside the train. A man's hand reaches out and grabs hold of Mally. The man hauls her inside the carriage. The hand stretches out for Ben.
Thanks, buddy.
The hand belongs to one of the bikers whose chopper Ben stole outside the cave. The biker smirks.
No!
The two male bikers punch Ben. He drops his gun in the straw which is strewn on the carriage floor. Ben hits one of the men.
Let me kick him! Get out of here! Get out of here!
Leave me!
Get out of here!
No!
Get off my head! Get him up!
The men overpower Ben, kicking and beating him.
Where's your gun, Clyde?
The men drag Ben into the corner of the carriage. As the male bikers pin him to the carriage wall, the female biker binds his wrists with twine. Mally tries to intervene, but is punched in the face. The bikers beat Ben to a pulp. They tie the twine to the planks on the carriage wall. Mally looks on helplessly.
What are you, a bunch of goddamn fairies?
Mary undoes her blouse.
You want to play with boys, go ahead, but I'd like to see if you've got anything between your legs.
The male bikers turn their attention to Mally. One man grabs her by the throat. The other picks her up off the ground and fondles her buttocks. The female biker punches Ben in the stomach. The men fling Mally to the floor. They rip open her blouse. The men start to pull off her jeans while the female biker plays with her face and hair. The female biker caresses and kisses Mally's face. A furious Ben watches. He struggles and wrenches the twine free from the carriage wall. He hauls himself up and undoes the twine which is holding his wrist to the carriage. He gropes in the straw for the gun. Ben retrieves the gun and jams the barrel into the male biker's face.
Get off her.
Ben grabs him by the hair, yanks him to the door, and kicks him, head first, out of the carriage. He pushes the second male biker out. He turns to the female, who circles towards the door. Her eyes survey the drop from the moving carriage.
You wouldn't hit a lady, would you?
Ben punches her full in the face. She flies out of the carriage. A bruised and battered Ben goes and sits wearily by a dishevelled Mally's side. Mally rests her head in her hand.
Mally?
They stare at each other intently. The freight train chugs through the Arizona landscape. The two figures of Ben and Mally sit motionless on the carriage floor. ramshackled house with a corrugated roof. They clamber down the embankment and onto a dirt track. The track bisects a shanty town. Ben enters a shop, Osborne's Apache Service bus stop, and leans against the door jamb. A clerk is filling out forms.
When's the next bus to Phoenix?
Next express pulls in at 3 o'clock.
Thanks.
Do you want a ticket?
No, I don't think that'll be necessary.
I heard it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
This whole idea is insane.
Yeah.
They walk off. Mally links her arm in Ben's. They enter an apartment. Ben turns on the bathroom light.
You first.
Mally begins to undress. Ben collapses on the bed.
Care for something to eat?
Yeah.
What do you have?
Surprise me.
The Phoenix Police Department. The phone rings at Josie's desk.
Josephson here.
Josephson?
Hold on. Ben, you okay?
Josephson, I'm coming in.
Coming in? Coming in where?
Phoenix, right to City Hall.
Ben, for Christ's sakes, that's nuts.
Will you write this down?
Ben, you can't.
Please, will you get a pencil and write this down?
All right, I got the fucker. Go ahead.
I'm taking the 7th Street off-ramp, going down Central over Mesa, straight down Adams to City Hall.
Yeah, 7th Central, Adams, Mesa, I got it, but Ben...
5 minutes after I leave here, Blakelock's gonna hear I'm coming. He's gonna try and stop me. I want you to go to him, give him my route, tell him to clear the streets. That way no innocent people will get killed.
Ben, this is crazy.
I want you to give him this message.
Tell him I know why he picked me for the job. Tell him he was wrong. Tell him I'm coming for him. I'm going to nail his ass to the wall. You hear me?
Ben, for Christ's sakes, Ben. He's going to have every cop on the force out there. You can't get in there.
Thanks, partner. My best to the family.
Ben.
The phone line goes dead.
Yes, 14A. Would you have anything like room service around this joint? Well, maybe you could send your kid out and pick up some steaks, fried chicken, something like that. Maybe a bottle of wine.
Yes, sir.
And is there anything like a florist around this neighborhood?
Mally is stretched out in the bath, having a soak.
When I was a kid growing up, I used to hate cops. Me and the other kids in the neighborhood, we used to always be getting in trouble, fights, gang fights, always getting rousted by the cops. I suppose if we had guns like some of the gangs do nowadays, I'd have shot every cop on sight. Parents never seemed to care. Teachers, they forgot how to care. As you grow a little older, you begin to realize what cops are all about. They're just doing a job, enforcing the law, raising families. If you break the law, you get busted and booked. That's about all there is to it. I learned to respect that. I even began to realize that the only people I knew that stood for something were cops. So when I got old enough, I joined up. I had this dream, boy. I had this dream of meeting the right woman, having kids. Most of all, breaking that big case. I could just see him pinning captain bars on me. Well, the years went by, and Never did meet that right woman. Seemed like other guys were always breaking the big case. After a while, you get to the point where you just put in your 20 and wait for retirement.
Ben grits his teeth.
Now I get the big case and I'm picked to go down with it.
You don't have to. Neither of us does. Nobody's forcing us to go back to Phoenix. Look, we could go to Canada or Mexico, any place.
Sure, and live like kings.
I've got some money. Look, I've got my checkbook, $5,000 back in Vegas.
And when that runs out?
Well, look, then let's take the money and buy a pickup truck, an old sedan or something unobtrusive, for God's sake. We'll take the back roads, turn ourselves into some precinct station, anything but City Hall. We'll ask for protective custody, talk to the DA.
That's exactly what I want you to do.
Well, what about you?
Me, I'm going in.
Why?
We both know why Blakelock picked me for this job. I'm going to prove he's wrong.
Then I'm going with you.
You're not my prisoner anymore. You can go wherever you want. You get your money, you can take off. This is strictly between me and Blakelock.
Look, you said yourself you didn't think the whole thing would work.
At least someone will know I tried.
Who, Blakelock?
No, me.
Mally looks at Ben. Deep in thought, she picks up the phone.
Area 212, please. 684-6114. Hi, Mom. Yeah, it's me. I'm okay. How are you? Oh, I'm in Wickenburg. Wickenburg, it's this small town about halfway between Vegas and Phoenix. Oh, I quit that job. Yeah, I mean, who wants to be a secretary all her life? Yeah. Look, anyway, the big news is I met this man. And he's really special. Yeah, you'd really like him. Shockley. Ben Shockley. Jesus, Ma, what difference does it make what church he goes to? Look, we love each other and we're gonna be married. Yeah, we're gonna settle down in Arizona and have kids. Well, I don't know. We hadn't really decided. Probably northern Arizona, somewhere. Maybe up near the canyon. It's supposed to be really beautiful there, and you can still get land. Well, we've got this business we have to take care of in Phoenix first, and then we're going to do it. Well, look, I just wanted you to know, okay? Look, would you tell Dad? Yeah, Shockley, just like it sounds. I love you. Bye. Get me Las Vegas, 2838779.
Near the canyon.
Bernie? Gus Malley. Yeah. Hey, listen, what's the line on that horse Malley no-show? 100 to 1. Perfect. Listen, I want $5,000 worth on the nose. Yeah, you know I'm good for it. Okay? She's gonna be a winner.
Ben stares at Malley in amazement. Earlier, she arranged some roses in a jug. She pulls them out and dumps them in the gift box.
Let's go.
The bus to Phoenix pulls up at the stop.
Move on out.
What the hell you think you're doing?
What the hell's it look like I'm doing?
What's wrong with you, man? This is the bus.
I don't give a damn if it's a Queen Elizabeth. Get your hand away from that lever.
Ben's gun is pointed at the driver.
Let's get the luggage out this way.
Sorry for this inconvenience, ladies and gentlemen, but at this time I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to leave the bus. Please be sure and take all your belongings with you, and I promise that arrangements will be made for your continued journey as quickly as possible. Well,
bus, passengers clamber out. The clerk at Osborne's bus stop is gagged and bound to his chair.
You, Shorty. And you, give me a hand with this luggage.
My, this is so exciting. Just like on the news.
Court stands in recess.
Ralph, 10 minutes.
Mr. Fridersfield, I don't know if you remember me or not. My name is Josephson. I'm Metro Squad.
I'm very busy now. Can you see me later, please?
Yes, sir. Well, but you see, this is about Shockley. Ben Shockley. He and I, we talked together just a little while ago.
You spoke with Shockley?
Yes, sir. He's coming in. He gave me his entire route. He had some very strange things to say about Commissioner Blakelock, and I didn't know who else to approach on
this. No. Listen, you've done absolutely the right thing coming to me about this. Look, why don't we go into my office and we can talk there?
Fine. Thank you.
Ben opens up the bus maintenance garage.
There's some quarter-inch steel right here. Get this over by the bus.
He scours the dark space. He grabs a trolley with two gas cylinders fastened to it. A passenger props sheet steel next to the bus.
What's this Josephson know?
Nothing that can hurt us yet.
Why would Shackley give us this fucking road, for Christ's sake?
I don't know. I haven't had time to knock it down.
It's a ruse. It's a ploy. He's trying to manipulate us.
No. I think he's on the level. I'll call you as quickly as I can.
You do that, Fridersfield, before the whole bucket blows up in our face. You get that trial postponed. Have a heart attack, burn yourself. Shackley's got to be stopped. Stopped hard.
Blakelock glowers at the mustachioed man, Federspiel. Ben is welding a metal plate in the front of the bus.
Okay.
So long, folks.
Good luck.
Ben and Mally board the bus. Ben takes the driver's seat.
All set?
Ready.
Ben closes the doors and sets the bus in motion. The puzzled passengers watch the bus depart. The clerk is making a frantic phone call.
Hijacked a what?
The bus cruises through the Arizona desert.
Wickenburg, Phoenix, is 150 miles of goddamn desert. It's 3 hours on that road. We could blast that bus to hell. Sitting duck, you know? Call these. The boys have them do it. Blow the shit out of it, I mean.
Now, sir, I could make that call. But the boys, they don't do that sort of job. It's a little high profile.
But they're with us, not against us. Against
us,
right?
Yes, sir. But we are talking about a very large bus on a public highway. And that's big news. And our friends in Las Vegas don't like that. Well, they're embarrassed by that kind of coverage.
Well, then our boys, then. The cops, deputy sheriffs, highway patrol. We got heavy-duty weapons, don't we? Bazookas? We have the assholes, you know. Let me show some balls. Blow them away, for Christ's sake.
Sir, with all due respect, this is a very well-traveled highway. We don't want blood and tennis rackets all over the asphalt.
Screw it. A few casualties.
Sir, if there are any casualties other than Shockley and the girl, someone's going to be answerable. You.
I make the decisions. What are the... Is there any other options?
I suggest we let Shockley drive right into the city. Now, we have his route. We then employ a two-phase plan. In phase one, we use his friend Josephson to lay a trap. In phase two, we clear the streets along his route, deploy our men, and create an impassable barrier. A gauntlet, if you will. He won't have a chance.
Yeah, that would work, wouldn't it? I mean, we could control the media then, too. We'd appear justified getting in that way. It'd be a feather in our caps.
Yes, sir. Excellent thinking.
Then that's our plan. Can he manage? I mean, can he arrange the thing with his friend?
Josephson, sir. Yes, sir. I'll put it in the works right away.
I repeat to all units, station yourselves as requested. Battalion captains will be taking their orders from this office, and this office only. Contingency 9-1.
You're supposed to do this to one of our own men?
You hurt Blakelock, didn't you?
But it don't make any sense. I mean, if this guy's the mad dog killer Blakelock says, why the hell would he supply us with his route?
The officer shakes his head in disbelief. A posse of police cars and motorbikes set out to intercept the bus. The bus is driving through a residential area. The posse of cars and bikes makes its way through the commercial sector of Phoenix. Phoenix City, police officers cordon off roads. Oncoming traffic is visible through a slit in the metal plate. Ben drives the bus so he can see over the top of the plate. Mally is behind him.
What do you think they'll do to us?
Whatever Blakelock tells them to.
Isn't there somebody who can stop him? The chief or the mayor?
He's the police commissioner. Do whatever he wants to do. He could put an army on the streets and nobody would question
it. Officers put up roadblocks. Ben drives on. The city looms ever larger. Mally stares into space. A smile flickers across her face.
You do want kids, don't you?
Kids, a house. Car, swimming pool, get in.
Some place with trees. Some place with neighbors not too close by. Hills to walk in.
Horses, a greenhouse maybe.
Maybe even a little guest house out there. Maybe even a...
Her face drops.
What?
Nothing. You don't even know if I'm good in bed anymore.
I'll just take that on faith.
Mally giggles and rubs her face in his hair. They interlock hands. Mally kisses the back of his neck.
What if he gets through?
He can't get through.
He's gotten this far, hasn't he?
Four dozen, five dozen? And those marksmen you're using are the finest on the force.
Yeah, I know, but what happens if... I mean, there's going to be hell to pay if something, you know, goes wrong.
The only thing that can possibly go wrong is if your spit-and-polished disciples decide they can't shoot down one of their own officers.
They're cops. Bastards are paid to shoot, and I think.
And we have no problem.
The line goes dead. Blakelock stares at the receiver. His face is taut. Ben drives into central Phoenix.
That's where our welcoming committee will be.
Why can't we just keep going? Maybe they won't stop us. We just keep going.
Bang, bang, bang.
A solitary police car pulls over on a deserted road. Josie gets out. Ben turns a corner. Officers stand in the middle of the road.
What's that?
Roadblock. You get ready to hit the deck now.
An officer removes one of the blocks. Another officer points for Ben to turn right.
They're letting us through.
Yeah. Don't want innocent people to get killed.
Josie sees the bus, steps in front of the car, and holds his hands up for Ben to stop.
Who's that?
Jesus, it's Joseph.
Ben slows the bus to a stop. Josie clambers on board.
Joseph, what the hell are you doing here?
Jesus Christ. Ben, you don't have to do this. We've got a friend at City Hall.
Who?
Fighterspiel. The assistant district attorney on the DeLuca case. I told him what you said about Blakelock. He promised to help us. He promised he'd defend you himself if you could prove your point.
Forget that. I don't trust anybody connected with the DeLuca case.
Damn it, don't you hear me? The man is the assistant DA, Ben. The man prepared the whole case.
Maybe he's the one with enough guts to go up against Blakelock.
Yeah, and maybe they're in bed together. Maybe the whole thing's a smokescreen.
Ben, listen to me. Now, I've talked to Fighterspiel. He's okay. He's not like we thought. Besides, Guy, you've got no choice. Blakelock's got half the goddamn police force out there, just waiting for this elephant to roll in.
Where?
7th, Central, Mesa, Adams, the whole route you gave me. The place is swarming with squad cars. Hell, Ben, even with this pig iron, it's suicide. Please, transfer to my car. Stay in the back. Just stay down low. I'm going to smuggle you into City Hall, the back door. Fighterspiel and I got this whole thing doped out. We take the service elevator up to his office. He said, keep your gun. Says, if you think you're being crossed, you can use him for a hostage to get away again. Ben? Ben, for Christ's sake, this man's laying his life on the line for you.
Ben frowns.
What do you think?
Mally studies Josie.
I think it's worth a try.
Okay. Maynard Josephson, meet Gus Mally.
Hi, Gus. Let's go, partner.
Josie and Ben disembark. Two marksmen take aim from the roof of a multi-story. Josie, Mally and Ben walk to the car. The marksman lines up his target through the sight. The crosshairs pick out Josie, who is shot in the back.
Oh my God!
Get in the bus! Get in the bus!
Ben half carries, half drags Josie, who slumps on the ground.
Get out of the bus!
Ben hesitates at the foot of the bus, and the marksman shoots him in the leg.
No! He's dead!
Mally pulls Ben into the bus. They squeeze behind the steel plate. Ben accelerates the bus away. The marksmen take pot shots at the windscreen.
Son of a bitch has killed him. Blake Clark and Fighter's feet. Stay down. We're going in.
Ben keeps his head down. He navigates through the slit in the sheet metal. He maneuvers the bus around a corner. Heavily armed police officers line both sides of the road. They watch his progress. Armed officers are positioned on the rooftops. The bus approaches a roadblock comprising of a row of armed officers.
last blue to death floor.
A detective holds up a loud hailer.
Commence firing.
Bullets riddle the bus from all sides. The bullets penetrate the bus windscreen and ricochet off the steel plate. The officers continue to spray the bus with buckshot and bullets. Debris grazes Ben's face. Mally covers her ears against the deafening noise. The bus turns the street corner and out of shooting range.
Unit 5, stand by. We failed to stop him. He's headed straight for you.
Ben pulls the bus up. Mally wriggles behind the wheel. Ben sits on the floor.
Oh. I don't know how to do this.
Do what I tell you.
Don't yell at me.
Do what I tell you. Drive, please.
Oh. Mally drives the bus jerkily, her eyes wide with fear. She stares through the slit. She turns the bus into a street of officers who are armed to the teeth.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Look at this.
Open fire.
A hail of bullets descends on the bus. A helicopter circles overhead. The rows of officers narrow to a point at the end of the street. Ben ties a tourniquet around his injured leg. Officers continue to rain bullets down on the battered bus. The nearside tire billows out smoke. Ben holds his bleeding leg.
Get the gas. Stay down.
Ben presses the gas pedal. The bus accelerates down the road, over the verge, and up the plaza steps leading to the town hall. Officers scatter. The windscreen shatters. The tires explode. Smoke billows. The officers stride towards the bus. Ben kicks out the bullet-riddled bus door and places one bloody leg on the tarmac. He pulls himself out. His gun is tucked in his trouser belt. The officers are pointing their guns directly at him. Ben holds out his hand to help Mally down. The captain pushes the nearest officer's gun to the floor. The rest lower their guns. In his office, Blakelock observes the spectacle with alarm. He scurries out. Holding tightly onto Mally, Ben limps forward. He's grasping the court paper. Mally grips her box of flowers. The sea of officers parts. Ben and Mally trudge towards the city hall. The officers swarm in a circle as Ben and Mally make for the city hall steps. Ben and Mally stop. The officers stare them out.
Witness here for courtroom G.
I gave orders! They were supposed to kill them!
Commissioner Flick!
I gave orders! Shoot them! Shoot! Kill them! Shoot them! Kill them!
Tell him.
Shockley!
Tell him.
It was Blakelock!
Tell him about Blakelock.
He did it. The cover-up. It was Blakelock.
What cover-up?
The DeLuca cover-up. The DeLuca case and you. He set you up, and he set the girl up.
Blakelock fires at Federspiel, who drops like a stone. A bullet enters Ben's shoulder. He falls to the floor. Mally kneels beside Ben. Blakelock pulls the trigger. The revolver clicks. The chamber is empty. Mally picks up Ben's gun and shoots Blakelock twice. Blakelock keels over.
Please, speak to me. And I love you. God damn it! Ben Shockley, don't you die on me! Kill you! Open those fucking eyes!
Mally hauls Ben to his feet. She picks up her box of flowers. She supports Ben as they hobble away. The officers let them pass. ITFC audio description.